Turn to Genesis chapter 30 as we continue there. Last week we talked about Jacob wanting to leave, take his family and go. Laban, his father-in-law, said, "How about if you stay and work with me some more?" Jacob agrees. They come up with an agreement for payment for this next, turns out to be about 6 years that he's there. And we saw how God provided for Jacob, how he blessed him even through this agreement that they had, and how Jacob prospered and Laban and his herd was not prospering as much. We'll just get into chapter 31. And he heard the words of Laban's sons, that's Jacob, saying, "Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's and all which was ours, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory." So basically, I'll read verse 2. "And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not towards him as before." So basically, his sons were seeing Jacob's prospering, and we're not. If you stop and think about it, though, do you remember what the agreement was? The agreement was, I'm going to separate all the odd-colored livestock and keep the normal-colored, the ones with plain brown, plain white, whatever it is, keep those here. We'll separate these out of here. Those are still Laban's, by the way. The offspring of the plain livestock become Jacob's. The speckled, spotted offspring only. So the plain offspring remain Laban's. Only the speckled, spotted, colored offspring become Jacob's, and those get separated as well. So now we got three groups going on. The livestock that are being bred and cared for by Jacob, the ones that Laban has separated that was part of the agreement, and then the ones that are Jacob's that are over here. So what we're talking about is the herd that Laban has here that's still breeding and producing. Of course, the speckled, the spotted ones over here that Jacob took away or that Laban moved 3 days' journey are still producing, right? I mean, just because they're over there doesn't mean that they're not breeding, right? But as far as what Jacob was taking care of, it was this group of plain-colored animals. And that was the agreement. As the speckled or spotted ones were born, they were removed. So the process continues that way. So in actuality, what was Laban, what had he lost?
Nothing,
right? It's not like Jacob was taking them out of the herd, and he already had this group over here. So it's not like he was losing, but he wasn't what? He wasn't gaining as fast as Jacob was. So it's not like all of a sudden his herd was dwindling to nothing. He still had his herds and his cattle and sheep and all that. It just wasn't gaining like Jacob's was. So it's interesting here that the sons say, Jacob stole all our stuff when they've still got it all. Probably they're upset the fact that they're not gaining as fast as they were before, not that they're really losing anything. So it's interesting their words here, that Jacob has gotten all this stuff from our father, and we're losing out on basically our inheritance. That's what they're worried about. That's what the sons are worried about. We're not going to get anything from dad. Or maybe this should be the statement. We're not going to get as much from dad because he's not prospering like he was before. I was thinking I was going to get this much, and if he doesn't keep, you know, gaining, I'm only going to get this much. Oh, poor little me. So we see, and then obviously this attitude kind of rolls over into Laban as well. Nobody's blind here. Everybody sees what's going on and what's taking place, that Jacob's herd is growing and theirs is not growing nearly as much.
Even though they're plain, they're not even speckled and spotted.
Right. So anyhow, so Jacob sees that Laban's attitude has changed towards Jacob. In other words, before, when he was getting rich and rich and richer and richer, he was happy, right? But now that he's not getting rich as fast or as much, he's not happy. Kind of greedy, isn't he? He's not just happy with how God has prospered his herd over the last 14 years. He wants more. So, verse 3, "And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and unto thy kindred, and I will be with thee." Interesting here. Jacob had talked about leaving once before, right? Approximately 6 years earlier, he was going to take his family and go. But apparently the time wasn't right yet. Now God says to him specifically, and he'll talk about this a little later, a few verses later. He says, "Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." He's told him that before, hasn't he? "I will be with you." Back when he was on his journey to Haran. So, verse 4, "And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah into the field unto his flock." That's interesting, huh? Well, where does he work most of the time? Out here. So he calls Rachel and Leah, which happen to be Laban's two daughters, right? Why didn't he call the handmaids? Because they don't matter, right? They're not. They go wherever they're supposed to go. So he calls the two daughters and he says to them, "And said unto them, I see your father's countenance that is not towards me as before, but the God of my father has been with me." So we notice right off that Jacob doesn't take credit for his blessing. He's right off the bat. God has taken care of me. The God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father. In other words, Jacob hadn't slacked off. Jacob hadn't cut corners. He hadn't cheated. He still, with all of his ability, was serving his father-in-law because that was the agreement they made, right? I'm sticking to the agreement. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's interesting, when we get to verse 7, he said, "And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me." As I read this, I thought, oh, well, what does he mean? Well, we'll see a little later that Laban would say, okay, now the speckled ones I'm keeping, or the spotted ones I'm keeping, or these are yours. So he kept changing because he saw that Jacob was increasing and he wasn't increasing as fast as he wanted to. So he thought, if I kept changing the goalposts here, I'll increase more. But God protected Jacob even in that. So when Laban would say, okay, we're going to change the agreement and now I get the spotted ones, guess what? God didn't allow spotted ones to be born, just the other one. So God worked this out, and we'll see a little bit more about this later. As I thought about this, well, let me read that. It says, "But God suffered him not to hurt you," or to hurt me. So God watched over Jacob in all of this. I got a question for you. Most of you have been employed, work somewhere. What if your employer said to you, "I'm changing your wages"? You would say, "Oh, okay. Well, how about the other way?" Yeah. Or do you, like Jacob, trust God to provide for you in whatever manner because God has put you in that place? I would agree with you. I would probably say, sayonara, see you later, I'm out of here. You know, this is what we agreed to. This is my wages. If you're not going to pay, adios, right? That's because I'm depending on what? Myself, right? Or what I can see. I'm not depending upon what God, you know, if God has placed me there, if that's the position God has given me, maybe God's got some kind of something going on that I don't know about. I can't see the future. God can, right? How do I know what God's plan is tomorrow or a week from now or a month from now? You see where I'm heading here? It seems like Jacob was willing to trust God in whatever the situation was because he knew that's where he was supposed to be. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He didn't even say, okay, fine, Laban, you're going to change my hour or you're going to change my pay rate. I'll work half day then. That goes through your mind too, right? Okay, fine. You're going to cut my wages? I'll only work 6 hours a day and I'll just set here for the other 2 hours. That'll be about even. But Jacob trusted God. Okay, enough preaching. Here we go. So, where to go? Here we go. So it says, if he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, and all the cattle bear speckle. I guess I should have read this, huh? And if he said thus, the ring streak shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring streaked. So as the goalpost was changed, God already knew that ahead of time and already was taking care of Jacob. Verse 9, thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. What was part of Jacob's motivation when he made the deal? Do you remember? What did he say to Laban?
Well, he said, I've worked for you for 14 years and I don't have anything to show for it.
Yeah, but he also said, I don't want anything from you, Laban. Remember? He said, I don't want anything from you.
Trusting God.
I'm trusting God to provide for me. And that's why he made the deal he did. Who should have benefited more than anybody else in that deal? Laban, right? He should have been the one that was prospering during this whole deal. If anything, Jacob did as much as he could to make it towards Laban's benefit and towards his, what do you call it, disbenefit? His, you know, whatever, towards his hurt. But that's not how it worked. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream. So God has given him a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. So he's repeating this again here a little bit. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leaped upon the cattle are ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban hath done unto thee. Interesting here. Jacob saw the ring streak spotted or whatever, cattle or sheep or goats. It means livestock here, so all the livestock. Saw them as speckled and spotted when? In a dream, right? That's where he saw them. In reality, what did he see when the herd was being, when the livestock was multiplying and breeding? He was looking at what?
Plain
animals, right? He didn't see which ones were going to be spotted or speckled. He had no idea, right? Because all he's looking at is plain colored animals. Who did have an idea what the offspring were going to be? Right.
The Lord is the one that showed him
this is,
which animals are going to be increasing.
Yeah.
The multicolored ones.
Right.
That was,
so
from this, it sounds like that whole suggestion was not Jacob's idea alone. That when at 14 years, when he said, we'll separate them, seems like that's where he had gotten the idea.
Yeah. It doesn't say when God told him this. So we don't know specifically, but yeah, that's possible as well. That God was going to provide for him, and God had showed him that. But at any rate, who was the one doing the... basically, all this has got to do with DNA, right? Does anybody here completely understand DNA? No. Mankind, even scientists, don't completely understand how DNA works, even to this day. But God does, because God created it. God can alter that. God can knows which animals are, even though they're plain-colored animals, they still have within their DNA those spotted or speckled genes, if you will, right? Your parents gave you certain genes, and you are able to, you know, you're tall, thin, short, whatever it is, your hair color, your eye color, because of dominant and recessive genes that are involved. Okay, you ready? Anybody here can roll their tongue? I know Bonnie can. Can you roll your tongue up like this? Yeah? You know what that is? That's because you have that dominant gene. Some of my kids can, but some can't, because I can't do that. Bonnie's got that dominant gene. I don't. I've got the recessive side of it.
My wife cannot trill her R's. She never could speak the Spanish language, where you have to...
roll the R's?
Yes.
Yeah.
The burro.
Yeah. Yep. That's all genetics. That's all you're born with, the genes that your parents passed on to you. I understand a little bit of it, enough to be dangerous, but God understands completely, doesn't he? And God knows which cattle were going to be born. Whoops, there goes the speaker. Jacob didn't. Jacob had no idea. Basically, what I see here is God says, I'm the one that's in control of this. I showed you in a dream what's going to take place, that I'm going to multiply you, that I'm going to care for you. And then it says, interesting, in the last part of verse 12, it says, for what? For I have seen all that Laban doeth to you. Yes. Laban's trying to cheat. Laban's trying to change. Laban's trying to gain what should be yours. But I'm keeping an eye on that. And I'm the one that's making the certain cattle bear, or livestock bear, certain colored animals. He says, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, return unto the land of thy kindred. Do you remember Bethel? Remember on his way there?
Where he slept on the rock.
Yeah, where he used rocks for pillows. My neck still aches because of that. And then took those rocks and made an altar and anointed it with oil. That's Bethel, where other things have taken place in Bethel. He says, arise and go. So verse 14, and Rachel and Leah answered unto him. So he's brought them out in the field where he's tending the flock so he can have a private conversation with his wives, with the daughters of his father-in-law, and say, this is what God has shown me. This is what I'm going to do. I want to talk to you out here and let you know what's going on and how God has directed me when I have a chance to talk to you in private. Interesting. Verse 14, Rachel and Leah answered him and said, is there any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him as strangers? For he hath sold us and hath quite devoured our money. Interesting statement from the two daughters. Let's take a look here. It says, is there any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? In other words, do we even have any inheritance here anymore? Interesting. Two things. Are we not counted of him as strangers, for he hath sold us? So apparently the attitude that they're seeing from Laban, their father, is, I've given you away. apparently he's treating them as strangers, not as daughters anymore, now that they're basically sold to Jacob for 14 years of service for the two of them, and that's how they felt. Apparently that's how Laban treated them, just like strangers. Interesting as well, it says, for he hath sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. Apparently Laban was living pretty high on the hog, huh? He was doing real well, and he was apparently spending money life right and left. So he was doing quite well, living quite well, spending money quite well, because apparently they're not seeing anything that's going to be left for them. Interesting, we get a picture or another glimpse into Laban and his attitudes and his actions and his reaction, even with his own daughters. Were you going to add something?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
What's the verse that says, I think it's Proverbs, God's watching the good and the evil.
Mm-hmm.
And then going through this and praying about it and different things, and most of the time I just, don't worry about it like God. And that's what we're seeing here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's a huge thing as far as what we're supposed to be as Christians.
Yeah.
Patience.
Yep. So they see their father's attitude, they see the way that's it. See his attitudes, his actions towards them. Verse 16, for all the riches which God hath taken from our father that is ours and our children's now, then whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. So they basically say to him, we're in agreement. We will go. If you say go, we see that apparently they agree that God is the one that's blessed Jacob, that he's provided for him through all this. So, verse 17, then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and his goods, which he hath gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. So basically he packs everything up. So he's got all his kids, all the wives, all his goods, all his possessions, everything that he's gained, and he starts out towards Canaan, back to home. And you kind of wonder, well, how did this happen? Or how did he get away with that, really? Well, the next verse. And Laban went to shear sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's, and Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he had fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river, that's the Euphrates River, and set his face towards the Mount Gilead. So Jacob packs up everything and takes off. And Laban isn't aware of what's going on because he had gone to shear sheep. Now apparently, wherever they went to shear sheep was not at the homestead. Of course, maybe, after all, these sheep or the cattle and herds were separated, right? So it's quite possible that maybe Jacob's cattle and herds were already in that direction. We don't know, but could have been. So by the time they left the homestead and picked up the cattle, maybe a day or two's journey, and then continued on. But at any rate, Laban wasn't home at the time. He might have been shearing sheep over here a day's journey or 2 days' journey away. We're not told exactly. But Laban wasn't there. Apparently Jacob thought this is a good time to go because Laban's not here, and we'll see why he was concerned about that as we continue on. And it was told Laban on the third day, so after Jacob had a 3-day head start, of course, he's traveling with what? Right. He's not on a horse just getting out of town. He's got this whole group that he's taken with him, all these cattle, sheep, goats, whatever it is, all these herds, as well as family and servants and everything else that he's got to take with him. So he's obviously moving slow. But on the third day, Laban finds out that Jacob's taken off. And it doesn't tell us here, but if he's in the middle of shearing sheep, he can't just drop everything right there. I don't know if it was the same day, but it doesn't matter. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey. So wherever they were at, there obviously was some separation. It took him 7 days to catch up to Jacob. Now, obviously, he's not hauling herds of cattle and sheep and goats and family and livestock. They're pretty much on fast animals trying to overtake Jacob. And why does he want to overtake Jacob? Well, let's continue on. Verse 25, then Laban overtook Jacob. Oh, wait a minute. Verse 24, and God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, Laban, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good nor bad. What's God saying to Laban?
Don't touch.
Yeah, exactly. You better be careful what you have to say to Jacob when you get to him. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, so they catch up to him. They're both camped right there in the area. Laban approaches Jacob. Obviously, this has got to be a tense moment. Jacob doesn't know exactly what Laban's got in mind. And he says, and Laban says to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives, taken with the sword? Really? So Laban says, what? You by force with a sword forced my daughters to leave me. Well, that doesn't quite fit Laban after we see the attitude.
He had a good word.
What's it?
Being a bit dramatic.
A bit dramatic, yeah. I think we could go a little farther and go out and out lying. Verse 27, wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me? And dost thou not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs and with a tabret and with a harp? Oh man, if you had just stayed, I would have given you a party and sent you away with all sorts of gifts because I'm that kind of guy. Okay. Bells rung, we'll continue later. God took care of Jacob, right? God can take care of us.
He does.
He does. God is in control. We don't have to worry about what situations we come across, just like Jacob. Okay, Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed.